This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by baseball insider Andy Carboni. Andy, welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Happy to be back once again.
Well, Andy, the Red Sox, what a tale of 2 weeks here. The Red Sox were red hot last week when we talked, but not the case right now. What's up?
No, certainly not. They're now ice cold. Last night, the Red Sox dropped their fourth straight, losing 6-2 to Miami Marlins over Fenway. Nick Pivetta taking the loss, giving up two runs and 3 1/3 innings of relief. This game was delayed for well over an hour because of a rain delay. Rafael Devers hit home run number 19 in the defeat. Sox and Marlins wrapping up the three-game series tonight over on Jersey Street. First pitch at 6:10, Brian Baio on the bump for Boston. After tonight's game, the Sox head out for a short three-game road trip north of the border starting tomorrow night against the Toronto Blue Jays. Sox now 40-41 on the season. That's good for last place in the AL East. 14 games behind the Rays. Also, the Sox 4 games behind the Blue Jays for the last AL wildcard spot.
Well, Alex Cora this week says the team is not great, but they're not horrible either. I think something to that extent. We'll see about that.
Well, if that's not the definition of a 500 team, or a little above or a little below, I don't know what is.
There you go. That's it. All right. So what's happened with this team since we last talked?
Well, last Thursday, the Twins shut out the Red Sox 6-0 in a matinee as Twins starter Joe Ryan tossed a 3-hit shutout, struck out 9. Sox headed to Chicago for the weekend. Things looked good on Friday as they beat the White Sox 3-1. Rafael Devers hitting a 2-run homer, and Brian Baio picked up his 5th win of the year, allowing just 1 run in 6 2/3 innings. It was the first time since 1905 that the Red Sox had just 4 hits or fewer in a game, struck out at least 17 times, and won the game. Then elsewhere over the weekend on Saturday, the White Sox beat the Red Sox 5-4. Sox did score a run at the top of the ninth to tie the game, but then Kenley Jansen came in for the bottom of the ninth and gave up a run to take the loss. On Sunday, it was the White Sox over the Red Sox 4-1. Cutter Crawford tagged the loss, giving up 4 runs in 6 innings. Sox were off on Monday. They returned home on Tuesday and got destroyed by the Marlins 10-1 as Garrett Whitlock gave up 6 runs and 11 hits at 4 2/3 innings of work. So some ups and some downs, and that's pretty much how the season has been progressing for the local nine.
Exactly. Almost exactly an up and a down. So there it goes. That's 2023 at Fenway Park and on the road as well, I guess. All right, so Andy, you got some player notes, I think, to share with us here, right?
Well, Sox did place catcher Reese McGuire on the 10-day injured list with an oblique strain. Alex Verdugo was away from the team over the weekend on the bereavement list. He came back to the team on Tuesday. Catcher Caleb Hamilton and pitcher Brandon Walter were called up from Worcester. Another interesting note in Red Sox history, if you want to get all excited about it. Last Tuesday, Sox catcher Connor Wong started a 2-6-3 double play in Minnesota. The last Red Sox catcher to do that was Bob Tillman back in 1967. I know you were there for that game, Bill. That game was also played in Minnesota. Also, some more Red Sox history. There's never been a player named Hamilton on the roster until a span of 2 days last week. Infielder David Hamilton called up last Wednesday, catcher Caleb Hamilton on Thursday.
You know, it's funny. I don't really think of the 2-6-3 double play, but it's, you know, as I think back, it seemed like I thought maybe there were more of them back in the day. I don't know. Maybe you just can't do that anymore. I mean, those are two long throws. You know what I'm saying?
They certainly are. Yeah. So maybe that's why it's a little on the rare side.
I guess so. Wow. All right. Fair enough. Other things. What else do we need to know about this Red Sox team?
Well, the Red Sox are the only American League team sending 3 players to the All-Star Futures game in Seattle on July 8th. Shortstop Marcelo Mayer, second baseman Nick York and Portland Sea Dogs, and pitcher Shane Drouin from the Worcester Red Sox. So maybe there's a bright future for Red Sox fans down the road. And I do want to let you know that John Henry is spending money. He and Tom Woomer have agreed to buy a Boston team at Tiger Woods and Roy McIlroy's Professional Golf League, which starts in January. You know, I can keep saying this all along, Bill. I kind of wish that John Henry would sell the Red Sox at this point because he seems to want to spend his money on other entities other than the baseball team at this point. So he's throwing money around in all different places, certainly not putting it into the local nine, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. A little distracted, it sounds like. All right. But speaking of a distraction, what do we have on Nesson Plus this afternoon?
Well, you'll see definitely a win, no question about it. It's a game from June 29th of 2005. First pitch at 1 o'clock, Doug Mirabelli, Mark Belhone hit home runs. Tim Wakefield got the win, giving up 2 runs in 7 innings and a 5-2 win over the Indians.
All right, this is where it gets good in these podcasts, Andy. The Major League Baseball notes, for a lot of us, we just don't have time to follow everything in Major League Baseball throughout the week, but But apparently you do. So what do you have for us here for some notes from around Major League Baseball? Always great stuff.
Well, we'll start things off with Marlins infielder Luis Arraez's chase to 400 last night. Arraez went 1-for-5. He's now batting .396 on the season. Also, the huge story last night was in Oakland. Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán threw just the 24th perfect game in Major League history in an 11-0 win over the A's. The last perfect game was back in 2012. Hmm. Last Friday, the Reds won their 12th straight. After trailing the Braves 5-0, they came back to win 11-10. It was the longest winning streak since 1957. And Reds manager David Bell's grandfather, Gus, played for that team. In that game, Reds rookie third baseman Ellie De La Cruz hit for the cycle, becoming the first Reds player to do that since 1989. But the Reds' 12-game winning streak was then snapped the following day. Also last Saturday, the Angels scored a franchise record 25 runs in a 25-1 win over the Rockies in Colorado. The Angels led 23-0 after four innings. More news from the Angels. On Tuesday, pitcher Shohei Ohtani became the sixth player since 1893 to hit two home runs in a game while striking out at least 10 batters. One of those six players was former Red Sox pitcher Rick Wise. He did it in 1971 while playing for the Phillies. Ohtani also became the first pitcher in history to have three hits in the game while striking out at least 10 batters. Ohtani now has 28 home runs on the season. He's batting .304. And on the mound, he's 7-3 with a 3.02 ERA.
Well, Rick Wise, there's another name I can't say, but I can remember. Absolutely, yeah.
I know you'd like that one. That's why I had to throw it in there.
Oh, man, that's terrific. I love that. That's a great memory, actually, yeah. I was driving home last night. I heard about Terry Francona, but I guess he's doing okay, the former Red Sox manager and now Guardians manager.
Yes, he is doing better. He was sent to the hospital for Tuesday's game with lightheadedness. He's been released from the hospital. The doctors advised him to stay away from the ballpark for at least a few more days. We'll have to see if Terry obliges to that or will he show up at the ballpark. But good news through here on Francona. There was just a slight medical bump on the roadway. And last week, this is kind of an interesting one, a bus taking the Pirates to Milwaukee from Chicago was pulled over for erratic driving, and that bus driver was arrested for drunk driving. Something definitely you don't hear every day.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah.
That was must have been quite a sight to see. Bus kind of swerving around.
I would love to hear if anyone on the bus noticed it.
Yeah, that's the question. You figure, maybe one of those players would overtake the bus driver and take over or something. But, at least it was pulled over and there were no injuries reported, no accident or anything. So that was a good thing.
Oh, man. That's craziness. All right. Anything else to share with us?
Well, after last weekend's London series, Major League Baseball has announced that the Mets and Phillies will play the 2024 London series on June 8th and June 9th. And Major League Baseball has released the finalists for the 2023 All-Star Game. Braves outfielder Ronald Acuña Jr. and Angels two-way star Shohei Ohtani each earned automatic starting spots after leading all vote-getters in Phase 1. For the rest of the ballot, each position has been narrowed down to two finalists, as also being six outfielder finalists for the three starting jobs. The MLB All-Star starters will be revealed today, the All-Star game being played July 11th at T-Mobile Park in Seattle.
Wow, that is coming up. Yeah, man.
Yeah, we've hit the halfway point in the season already, and the All-Star game coming up, and things are flying by.
That's right. You're right, yeah. So, but it's not the halfway point of the summer. Can't be. No, not July 11th.
Summer, the season, yeah.
Yeah, I know, yeah, but we'll have to relax on that. We got another, maybe, probably in a week later, it'll be halfway through.
Absolutely. Yeah. No rush to get to the fall yet. We'll slow down a little bit.
Exactly. All right, Andy, what are we looking at here for the Sox? And what are you looking at? Anything, any anticipated moves the team might make?
Well, I think a lot's going to come down in the next couple of weeks as the obviously the trade deadline at the end of July. What will this team do? Will they buy? Will they sell? I mean, you're asking me what I would do. I'd sell off any veteran on the roster that's not strapped in at this point. This team, even if they made the wild card some strange way, they're not going anywhere. So why keep people that aren't going to be around for the long term? So maybe you trade off a Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen, some of those guys, get some high-level prospects to help build for the future and just base the team around the young guys, call up some more of the younger players, and see what we have in the organization, because this team is certainly not going to contend in the AL East for the division title, or even though, like I said, getting to a wild card, that they wouldn't get past the first round. It'd be a miracle. Too many issues on this team, pitching an issue, don't have really a catching situation right now. The shortstop situation has been up and down. There's been issues all over the diamond, really, for this team this year. And the defense overall has been horrible since day one. So a lot of things need to be addressed. And, this 2023 season is certainly not going to be the year for the Local 9.
Well, the sun will come out tomorrow, but maybe not around here.
Yeah, the sun's been an issue around here, that's for sure.
Yeah, so whatever. All right. Andy, always good talking with you, and thanks for all this great information, and we will talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right. There he is, baseball insider Andy Carbone. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewSports.com.